Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
I have so loved this series. Have you loved this series? Pastor Philip helped me so much when talking about stress and how to deal with frustration and fear and fatigue, because I think I saw all of those things showing up in my life. Pastor Destiny's message last week was both encouraging and challenging. Come on, no matter what it is, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, old or new, we can handle it. Well, as Pastor Philip said, my name is Clarissa, and I am the Connections Pastor here at North Point. And today I have the privilege of continuing our I Can Handle It series by talking about how to handle difficult people. So go ahead and get your pen and your journal handy. Pull up the note app on your phone. Pull up YouVersion so you can follow along in the notes, because we are going to learn together today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you that because of who you are, we really can handle anything that happens in our lives. Help us today to listen with open hearts and open minds. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start by defining the word difficult. Difficult could be defined this way: needing much effort or skill to accomplish, deal with, or understand. When talking about the definition of a difficult person, you could be described as not being easy to please or to satisfy. Synonyms of that definition: troublesome, tiresome, trying, exasperating, demanding, two of my favorites, bullheaded, or pig-headed. Maybe there are a few faces popping up in your mind right now. Some difficult people that you've had to deal with this week. Maybe a conversation you even had this morning with a difficult person is in the forefront of your mind. Here's what I want you to do. Clear your mind of all the faces and all the conversations, and let's really lean in and try to learn together today. Four truths about difficult people that I want to talk about here at the beginning. Number one. Some people are difficult on purpose. Ugh, I hate this truth, but it's true. Some people just like to give you a hard time. Some people love to get your goat. You didn't even know you had a goat until they came along and they found it and they got it. Some people just love to push your buttons, buttons you didn't even know you had. If you're a parent, those people might be your children. Some people are difficult on purpose. But the second truth about difficult people, some people don't know that they're difficult. Really, they're just living their best life, being who they are, doing what they think is right, and they're wondering why you're always getting so bent out of shape. They don't know they're difficult. But the third truth about difficult people is this: what's difficult to me might be easy to you, and what's easy to you might be difficult to me. Do you know what I find difficult about some people? They don't have a checklist. They don't have a plan. They didn't plan their vacation. They didn't plan their off day. How are they living? That's what I want to know. Those people, for me, are difficult to understand. People who just say, you know what, whatever happens tomorrow happens. I'm not going to make any plans. I'm just going to do whatever comes my way. What? Now, that might be easy for you to understand. Maybe you're that type of person, but that person is a little more difficult for me to understand because I like a plan. What's difficult to me might be easy to you. What's easy to you might be difficult to me. But here's the fourth truth about difficult people. Listen to me. We are all difficult people. Believe me, someone, somewhere, sometime in your life has thought that you were a difficult person. If you drive the speed limit, if you drive under the speed limit, someone thinks you're a difficult person. If you go 10 over and you think that Airline Drive is a NASCAR track or whatever, someone thinks you're a difficult person. If you like all of your food to be separate on a plate, it can't touch. Touching is heresy. Somebody thinks you're a difficult person. If you put your potatoes, your corn, and your gravy, and then you cut up your meat and you put it all together and you make it into a mush, somebody thinks you're a difficult person. That person might be me. If you have a New Orleans Saints bumper sticker, some people driving behind you in traffic might think you're a difficult person. They just might be a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm not saying I am, although I am. Somebody thinks you're difficult. So, where must we begin when learning how to handle difficult people? It's pretty simple. We just have to start by remembering. We have to start by reminding ourselves we are all difficult people because we are not perfect. Come on. This is what I want you to do. I want you to put it in the chat. I want you to set yourself free this morning. Put "I am not perfect" in the chat. Come on, tell somebody in the house that you're in, if you're with people, "I can be difficult." You're not perfect, but I'm not perfect. None of us is perfect. And this is why, because over and over again in our lives, we all have to deal with sin. The truth is that sin makes us all so difficult because sin itself is difficult. There's a man by the name of Paul. He was a leader, a pioneer in the early church, and he wrote all of these letters to churches. And one of them he wrote to a church in Rome. And in Romans 7, 17 through 20, this is what Paul writes. "As it is, I am no longer the one who does these things. It is sin living in me that does them. I know there is nothing good in my desires controlled by sin. I want to do what is good, but I can't. I don't do the good things I want to do. I keep on doing the evil things I don't want to do. I do what I don't want to do, but I am not really the one who is doing it. It is sin living in me that does it." We are all difficult people because we all deal with sin. All. Say that. All. Also in that letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, you can back up some chapters and you find in Romans 3:23, Paul writes this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All. Every single one of us. I am a difficult person. You are a difficult person. Somewhere, someone thinks you are difficult because not one of us, not you, not me, is a perfect person. So before we get into how we can handle difficult people, let's not be deceived. Let's not hold those difficult people that we had in our minds at the beginning of the message to such a high standard. The Apostle Paul also wrote it this way in the 12th chapter of Romans, verse 3. He says, "Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given you." If you are a Christ follower, this is what you have to remember. If it wasn't for Christ's perfection that's been applied to your life, you would be lost. You would be without hope in the world. You can't take the credit. And even now, we still make mistakes. We still sin. We do things that we are ashamed of and wish we had never done. Aren't you glad that with all of that, God has not given up on you with your difficult self? I'm so glad that God hasn't looked down on me and said, oh, Clarissa, she's just so difficult. Okay, Clarissa, got it. I'm difficult. But how do I handle difficult people? So glad you asked. You know, I think that after we remind ourselves that we are difficult people, handling other difficult people is not as hard as we think. One of the ways that we can handle difficult people in our lives is by simply accepting them. Don't get tripped up here. I'm not saying that you have to approve of everything that the difficult people in your life do, but I am saying that you have to do one of the most basic human things that you can do for another person. You accept them, just as they are, imperfections and all. A simple definition of the word accept is to receive or welcome. The opposite of that word is to refuse, reject, or turn down. Sometimes I think we wonder why the difficult people in our life continue to refuse and reject and turn down our Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, it's because we continue to refuse and reject and turn them down. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus receiving, welcoming, and even inviting all types of people to do life with him. He accepted fishermen, regular old guys with tempers and opinions, no degrees or pedigrees. He welcomed tax collectors. He ate with them. He even made them his friends. This was difficult for some people to understand. He accepted foreign women, sinful women, sick women. This was unheard of in his day. He received lepers and beggars and blind men, the very outcasts of his society. But he didn't stop there. He welcomed you. He accepted you. He received you. He didn't wait for you to clean up your act, to behave differently, or get it all together before he accepted you. Through Jesus' sacrifice and victory, God was welcoming all of us in. Even though we had lived our lives rejecting him, when I envision the stone being rolled away from the empty tomb, I envision God rolling out the welcome mat for all of humanity. I see him turning around the "we're closed" sign and saying, "Come on in, we're open." So why is it that we do this with difficult people? We shut them out, we close them out, we push them away because we don't understand them, because they frustrate us, because they're so difficult. But Clarissa, what if I accept them and they think I'm good with their lifestyle or the way that they think or the way that they vote or whatever it is? What if? I don't know. What if? But what if you accept them just as they are, in their brokenness, in their confusion, with their insults and all the things they do that you don't approve of? What if you accept them and that opens up a door in their heart? And maybe, just maybe, your kindness leads them down a path to repentance. Aren't you glad that God accepted you? One way that we handle difficult people is by simply accepting them. But another way that we handle difficult people is by forgiving them. Here's another truth about difficult people. They give us a whole lot of chances to be offended. They give us a whole lot of chances to have issues with them and things against them, and they hurt us and they insult us and they do it over and over again. Let's read Matthew 18, 21 through 35 together. Then Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? "No, not 7 times," Jesus replied, "but 70 times 7. Quick time out here. This would have rocked Peter's sandals completely off. What is Jesus saying to Peter here? 70 times 7? You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying you forgive people completely, 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 over and over and over again. Is that a little difficult to hear? Just in case Peter and his disciples didn't really understand what he was trying to say, Jesus proceeds to tell them a story. We pick up in verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything that he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all.' Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt." Verse 28. "But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time. 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it,' he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt, millions of dollars, because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. 'That's what my heavenly Father,' Jesus says, 'will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart.'" Wow. Not forgiving the difficult people in your life won't make you any less difficult and won't make them any less difficult. It'll just make things more difficult. Don't get tripped up here. I'm not saying that you have to be foolish. If there is someone who has hurt you over and over again, don't be foolish. You don't have to make them your best friend or bring them into a close position in your life. But this is what you do have to do. You have to forgive them. You have to be obedient. Because we are the debtor in this story that Jesus told. God has released us from the debt that we owed. So now we have to release the difficult people in our lives who have offended us and hurt us. We have to let it go. We have to trust that God knows better than us. You see, what God knows is that unforgiveness will lead us to bitterness. And bitterness just hardens our heart and often makes us more like the people we are having trouble forgiving. We have been forgiven. We have been released from the debt that we owe. Are we greater than God? Do we have the right to hold someone else's sin against them? Never forget If you follow Jesus, your sins do not count against you anymore. Your debt that you owed has been paid. Aren't you glad that God forgave you? How do we handle difficult people? We accept them, we forgive them, and we love them. We love them. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. Suppose, this is Paul writing again, I speak in the languages of human beings or of angels. If I don't have love, guess what? I am only a loud gong or a noisy cymbal. Suppose I have the gift of prophecy. Suppose I can understand all the secret things of God and know everything about Him. And suppose I have enough faith to move mountains. Sounds pretty impressive. But if I don't have love, I am nothing at all. Suppose I give everything I have to the poor. And suppose I give myself over to a difficult life so I can brag. If I don't have love, I have nothing at all. What is love, Paul? Thank you. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not want what belongs to others. It does not brag. It is not proud. It does not dishonor other people. It does not look out for its own interests. It does not easily become angry. It does not keep track of other people's wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but it is full of joy when truth is spoken. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, never gives up. Guess what? Love never fails. How do we handle difficult people? We're patient with them. We're kind toward them. We don't brag or boast about the fact that we love them. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, Clarissa, she's so difficult, but bless her heart, I love her anyway. We honor them. We look out for them. We don't become easily angered with them. And we do not keep a record of all the wrong things they have done. Come on, aren't you glad God is patient with you? I know I'm glad He's patient with me. How many times have I messed up? Aren't you glad God is kind toward you? Oh my goodness gracious. I'm so thankful for the kindness of God. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says this. At just the right time, Christ died for ungodly people. He died for us when we had no power of our own. It is unusual for anyone to die for a godly person. Maybe someone would be willing to die for a good person. But here is how God has shown His love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while we were wrongdoers, evildoers, criminals, reprobates, trying, demanding, pig-headed, and downright difficult, Christ died for us. He proved His love for us. Come on. I'm so thankful for that. He didn't wait until I figured out that I was a difficult sinner. Until I figured out that I had been disobedient, that I was pig-headed, that I was bull-headed. He died for me before I figured out any of that because He loved me completely, completely, completely. 1 John 3:16 says this, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Jesus laid down His life. He proved that He loved you by laying down His life. On the cross, He said, "I can handle it. I know Clarissa's difficult. I know she's disobedient, but that's okay. I can handle it. She just needs my perfection. She just needs me to accept her. She just needs my forgiveness. She just needs my love. I can handle it. How do we do this day in and day out? We do what Jesus did for us. How do we love difficult people? You ready? We lay down our life for them. We live as Jesus did in the world, not going around demanding our own rights, being just as difficult as everybody else. We accept, forgive, and love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and hear me, every person that we meet. Because that's what Jesus did for us. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you? All right, Clarissa, I get it. This week, I'm going to accept those difficult people. I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to love them. I'm going to do it. Good. But just in case, you're still wondering who God expects you to accept, forgive, and love, I want to close by reading some of Jesus' words to those who are following him. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, punishment that fits the offense. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person who insults you or violates your rights. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other toward him also. Simply ignore insignificant insults or trivial losses and do not bother to retaliate. Maintain your dignity, your self-respect, your poise. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. For the Lord repays the offender. And whoever forces you to go one mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love, that is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may show yourselves to be the children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on those who are evil and those who are good, and he makes the rain fall on the righteous, those who are morally upright, and the unrighteous, the unrepentant, those who oppose him. For if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brothers, wishing them God's blessing and peace, what more than others are you doing? Do not even the Gentiles who don't know the Lord do that? You, therefore, will be perfect, growing into spiritual maturity, both in mind and character, actively integrating godly values into your daily life, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Here Jesus raises the bar. Right in the middle of the sermon that many people call the Sermon on the Mount, he blows everyone's mind. No more disclaimers. No more love your neighbor, the person that you consider a neighbor, the person you understand, the person who gets you. No more of that. I want you to go higher. I want you to love your enemies. That's difficult. I want you to pray for those people who are persecuting you. That's difficult. I want you to do good to the people who have never done good to you. Come on, Jesus. That's difficult. Why? Because you belong to God. You are not your own. You have a new last name, and in this family, we go the extra mile with a smile. We accept people, we forgive people, we love people, yes, even our enemies, because we belong to God. Jesus said, when you live like this, you show yourselves to be children of God. You prove that you actually belong in the family of God. Anyone can love people that love them. Anyone can do good to people who do good to them. We have to understand that everything that Jesus has done for us, he expects us to do for even the most difficult people in our lives. Here, God is asking us to do something that's pretty difficult, but we can do it because we have his Spirit on the inside of us. How do we handle difficult people? How about we stop trying to simply handle them or deal with them, and we do what Jesus does for us? When you think about how to handle difficult people, let's replace the last two words in our series. Instead of "I can handle it," let's say "I can accept them." I can forgive them. I can love them over and over again. I know this might be a hard message for some of you to hear. Some of the most difficult people in your life are some of the people that are the closest to you. Maybe even people that you live with. I know it's hard to hear, but listen to me. If you belong to Jesus, if you are a part of the family of God, you can do it. You really can. I want you to take just a few seconds as we close and think about how God has accepted you, how he welcomed you into his family before you even understood anything about him, when you were broken and far from him, maybe even addicted to something. He still rolled out the welcome mat for you. I want you to just take a few seconds and think about how God has forgiven you, that he has wiped your slate clean, and that every time you make a mistake, every time you blow it big, you get to keep coming back and asking him for forgiveness, and he forgives you again and again. Just think about it. Now, I want you to take a few seconds and think about how much God loves you. Come on, think about it. When you were your most disobedient, Christ was still dying for you. He took on the penalty for all of your stubbornness, all of your disobedience, and all of your sin. And now nothing can ever separate you from his love. Now, I want us to pray and tell God that what he has done for us, we will do for others. Right now, where you are, there may be some really difficult people in your life that you just need to forgive. Right where you are, I want you to tell God that you forgive them. If you can say the person's name out loud, say it. Say, "I forgive." And then put their name there. Maybe you have to whisper it, but do it right now. Now think about the people that you have a hard time accepting in your life. Family members, coworkers. They're just so difficult. They're just so different. Ask God right now to give you a heart for those people. Come on, do it right now. Now, tell God that you want to love the difficult people in your life the same way that he loves you. Father, we thank you for accepting us, forgiving us, and loving us just as we are. We thank you that you have given us your Spirit and your power so that we get to do the same things that you did on the earth. Maybe you're watching this and you've never accepted God's forgiveness for your life. Maybe you've heard about his love, but you have a hard time believing that he really loves you, that he accepts you. Today, I want to give you a chance to come to Him and have all your sins forgiven, just as you are. Pray this prayer. God, I believe you sent Jesus to save me and give me a brand new life. Forgive me of my sins. Wipe my slate clean. Thank you for your love. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we'd love to hear from you today. You can text us at 318-257-6001, and we will connect with you this week and give you some next steps and more information about following Jesus. I hope this message helped you today. I know it helped me. Preparing it helped me. I had to really ask myself, am I doing these things with the difficult people in my life? Let's put this into practice, and let's go change our world. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.